Welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films. Today, we have a special guest, John Milstein.
Hello.
He is a comedy writer and just a lovely person and has created his own indie films.
Yes. I'm up there with the Swingers boys me and my boys roam around L.A.,
You are your own Jon Favreau.
Yeah, and I just realized I tipped it. I tipped the movie. I kind of stole your thunder. You hadn't even said it yet, so I'm just going to...
I was going to introduce you as my friend Jon Favreau, but okay. You kind of ruined the surprise.
All right, well, reset, audience. You don't know what movie we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a special guest. It's Jon Favreau. Mm-hmm,
it's me. I love directing animals and Iron Man, that's me.
Fabulous. Okay, so the film that you chose today was the 1996 film Swingers.
Mm-hmm.
John, why'd you pick this film?
Well, 90s was one of the themes that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And Swingers is a movie I had never seen before. I didn't really have much of a pre-notion of what it would be like. I know that it took place, a lot of it, at the Dresden, which we're just mere feet from here.
Mm-hmm.
At this apartment in Los Feliz, beautiful L.A., it's an L.A. movie. I love my city. And that was kind of the main idea.
You're not from here, though, are you?
No, not nearly. But I, 6 years under my belt, you know, now I got siblings out here. Pretty much I'm known as an L.A. guy at this point.
Uh-huh. So you're from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And you came over here. Mm-hmm. Just like the characters in that Swingers.
Another similarity.
So this movie is directed by Doug Liman. Written by Jon Favreau, starring Jon Favreau and a very young Vince Vaughn.
God, Vince is looking good.
He looks amazing.
Came into the world with a lot of swagger. It's nice to paint a picture of Vince Vaughn. He was always a swaggy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Always a guy who would be fun to have in the crew. I mean,
I get why he blew up after this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
'Cause he's so charming in this.
He's handsome as hell. I mean, his character is odious. He pulls it off. He calls women babies.
They have like their own language in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this movie takes place in the 90s in LA. It's about a bunch of people living in LA. A lot of them are from the East Coast, transplants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all trying to make it in showbiz one way or another. Jon Favreau's character
is it Mikey?
Yes. Uh-huh. His name's Mikey. He's getting over a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And
with a witch, may I add. She's a witchy. She's a bit of a witch.
She's a bit of a witch.
Yeah.
He's a comedian. His character is a comedian. But they also this is during a very specific time in the 90s when swing. Do you remember this?
I had no idea that this was a thing. I knew that ska was that there was a ska thing in the 90s.
How old are you, John?
28 years old. I was around in the 90s almost the beginning.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't know that there was a swing revival.
You don't remember a band called Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
No, I was just looking up the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. I know is it the Voodoo Daddies? Big Bad Voodoo Daddies, a couple of daddy bands.
Do you remember a Gap commercial when khakis got big and everyone's swing dancing?
No, I do not remember. I don't remember, you know, my view of the 90s. I don't remember people. I definitely listened to Mighty Mighty Bosstones. That was one of the first albums I had. I guess that must have been the same scene.
Okay, well, if you had zoomed out of that, you would have seen that swing that was really big for a bit.
Checked out the Zoot Suits on the cover. I should have marked the Zoot Suits as an unusual thing to wear.
Yeah, the trombones.
What the heck was going on? What were these guys thinking? I mean, it's like the most on-the-face uncool thing that there is.
Well, here's the thing. Someone pointed this out in another episode we recorded about 90s. There was a thing in the 90s where they got really obsessed with the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they got really into beat culture.
Right.
And then it extended all the way into, like, the swing culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays into a lot of the language that gets covered in this film.
Yeah, they call people skanks a lot, which is also kind of messed up. But
they That didn't offend me as much as them calling anything money.
Yeah, money. They called women babies and bunnies.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be my baby. Or look at this baby. We're going to talk to this baby over here. And I'm just like, I'm so confused.
I know. There's one, Vince Vaughn says, we met a beautiful baby, which is, it's so odd. Vince definitely committed fully to the dialect. He must have studied intensively preparing for this.
I wonder if this is how they talked back then.
Yeah. I guess it's like not that different from normcore. I guess normcore now. I mean, I guess now we're even getting towards the end of normcore, but it's like, yeah, things that are kind of uncool in a way, but if you commit, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Now I understand what those swingers were up to.
I mean, it's their level of just like, this is, we're in our own brains, we're being very classic, but we're also being very edgy,
mm-hmm.
like suspenders.
Right. They were racist to the delivery man. That was they had some weird racist games that were maybe part of the.
They had a weird okay. There's.
Don't mean to jump around. I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm
it's
just
okay.
Digging
no,
in.
No. It's okay. Okay. So this movie starts off. Vince Vaughn is trying to cheer up his friend Jon Favreau, and there's this very fun surreal scene. Where you've seen Jon Favreau checking his answering machine and it gives him advice.
I know that was a real bit of magical realism right at the beginning of the movie. You wouldn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal world, but Jon Favreau does have a cute little back and forth with his answering machine.
Mm-hmm.
That lets us know maybe there's a little bit of style going on in this flick.
Mm-hmm. There's some heart in this.
Yeah, there's some heart. There's things might get a little, you know, maybe it's not 100%. Real, it might get a little fun at times.
Yeah, we're here to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide to go to Vegas, and mm-hmm. They get $300 in $20 bills. And I don't know why I wrote that down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to gamble, and this is pre-Entourage,
right?
But it feels very Entourage,
right? And they're not the coolest guys in LA by any means. I mean, Favreau's kind of a loser.
Yeah,
Vaughn's got a lot of swagger, but who knows how cool he actually is? So it's not the cool Vegas trip.
Yeah.
As much as it is like you know, for them it was fun.
Yeah, like they don't have money, but they're trying to front like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn's trying real hard to flirt with some waitresses who take him back to their trailer.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like it was interesting to see, like, okay, so Vince Vaughn is the alpha male in this movie. Jon Favreau is the protege beta male who you kind of think, like, okay, so clearly this is Jon Favreau, the writer, is like, this is how I'm like, and I have a friend who's cool.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, like, Vince Vaughn has a lot of philosophies that he preaches, and the times that he's proven right are kind of like revealing about, you know, what does Jon Favreau think of the world? So like Vince Vaughn is mean to this cocktail waitress and is like, look, if I'm mean to this girl, like girls like it when you're mean to them. And you know, Jon Favreau's like, no way. But maybe he was right because he ends up in the trailer with the babes who he's mean to later. So,
was he mean to them?
He's like, he's ordering a drink from a cocktail waitress.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hurry up, baby. Like, I'm not going to wait all day. Like that type of thing. And and Jon Favreau's like, that was rude, Vince. And Vince is like, you know, she likes it. And he was right.
I wonder, okay. The thing is, like, Vince is kind of, he's very saucy.
Right.
But I wonder if it's just it's because it's coming from Vince. It doesn't seem that mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can get away with it. You know, if this guy were in the real world, he probably would get away.
He's
with
probably
it.
Done doing.
Yeah.
He's probably,
yeah. I mean, yeah. This is probably pretty close to the Vince.
Who he is.
Yes.
So John, like, so they're polar opposites. Favreau's like the sensitive, like he detoxed. They both meet women in the trailer and Vince goes to separate. To hook up with the waitress. This is during the day, which is so strange.
Yeah, they party all night and then they're in the trailer.
Yeah.
Next morning.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then Favreau just starts crying about his ex.
Yeah, and of course the girl, you know.
Being a woman and all.
It. Yeah.
She's like, emotions, give me more.
She's like, this is very sweet.
Look at you, being emotion.
Yeah, they're in this, I mean, yeah, I love the RV and just like the, yeah, they're both hooking up in different parts of the RV. I mean, I my whole question this watching this whole movie was, obviously it's Favreau's written true to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so funny to think, like, I don't know. Is this Favreau's life? Was he in the RV? Was he talking to babies about his ex-girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Hard to know.
And then there's this very fun, awkward scene where you see Vince checking on Favreau, and he ends up cock blocking
mm-hmm.
Vince, and Vince is just sitting there in a towel,
mm-hmm.
Very awkwardly because he's a huge man,
right?
And
Favreau too. Favreau was looking great in this movie. His arms look great. I couldn't keep my eyes off Favreau's.
Favreau
amazingly
looks
toned
very
arms.
Handsome.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks very handsome because you'll never see him look younger.
Yes.
Never see him look younger.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I was reading about this movie, and it's kind of based on like what happened to Favreau for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did move here from the East Coast. He did get over like a really big relationship, and basically Vince Vaughn and that other guy who was
not
later,
Ron Livingston, the other
Ron Livingston.
Oh, okay.
Him and Ron Livingston were his friends in real life,
mm-hmm.
and were basically just trying to cheer him up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the adapted for screen
right.
version of that.
And we find out Ron Livingston is kind of like the similarly minded to Jon Favreau.
Mm-hmm.
He's not out hooking up with chicks left and right. He's kind of a
mm-hmm.
he's a soft man too.
Yeah. Ron Livingston is also really funny in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did good casting on this.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked around. I mean, it's funny because it's like watching Swingers in 2019, you see a lot of people who would become huge stars.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy, there's like one guy in their crew who's kind of the other Vince Vaughn like tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's doing well. We don't see him in the movies as much anymore. I don't know who that man is. He's the guy who he eventually pulls a gun in like.
Yeah. I was wondering what ended up happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there's a scene where they're hanging out back in LA, and then they bump into some douchebags in the parking lot, and they start mouthing off, and one guy whips out a gun.
Yeah, huge escalation.
Yeah, like he goes from 0 to 30, and then like everyone freaks out, and that character is just like, this is what LA is like.
Yeah, you're right.
And these guys from New York are just like, what?
Yeah.
What? I think that's also a very 90s thing to be like, in LA, you're gonna get shot.
Right, right. I like my favorite LA thing that like happens in the movie is they're partying and they're like kind of bar hopping, or they go from a party to a bar, and there's a scene with them making the trip, and they're all driving like 5 separate cars, one person per car.
Oh god, yeah.
That was a fun little LA.
When you see
wake.
Them, they go from a party in the hills
mm-hmm.
to they're like
pretty sure the Dresden.
Yeah, they go to the Dresden, and I'm like, oh man, you're gonna have to go from the hills back to Los Feliz. And you all see them get into their cars and like tailgate it.
Right.
So I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, they pass by, for the real Angelinos watching this, they do drive by Cantor's on that trip. I don't know what kind of wacky route they're taking there.
Yeah, why would you take Fairfax to get to?
Strange. I mean, maybe Beverly, you know, we don't have to get into it. But
I mean, if they really wanted to show an accurate LA experience, there would have been 15 minutes of them looking for parking.
Right, yeah. Yeah, although who knows, Los Feliz at that time? Who knows? Maybe it was a parking heaven.
Yeah, maybe there's probably no signs anywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
no lift, no Lime scooters, that's for sure, cluttering up the sidewalk.
Yeah, no one was on their screens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This movie's awesome.
Yeah, this was the best time to be alive.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you been to the Dresden?
Yeah, and it's great.
Is it?
Marty and Elaine, have you been?
I went once, and I don't remember it looking like it did in the movie.
Yeah, it's like big curved bench.
Uh-huh.
They have the same two people. I think they play like 6 nights out a week or something like that. Marty and Elaine, married couple, the same people from the movie.
Is it really?
Yeah. They're like LA fixtures, and
wow.
Yeah. So you can kind of experience Swingers today. That's probably another reason why.
I don't remember that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was there for a rap party, which also is a disgustingly LA thing to say.
Yeah.
But yeah,
for Iron Man 2, directed by Vince Vaughn.
Wait, what?
What was the movie? What was the rap party?
Wait, was Iron Man 2 directed by Vince Vaughn?
Sorry, directed by Jon Favreau.
Oh,
fucked up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm like, God damn, Vince Vaughn,
yeah.
You've been busy. No, it was for an indie film where there was a scene at the Dresden.
Oh,
and we
cool.
ended up just having the wrap party at the Dresden. But I think I would have remembered if I saw a married couple doing yeah. entertainment.
Yeah, they're definitely there. You can buy their CD.
Oh, boy. CD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. This movie is like, it's very L.A.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of movies in the 90s that love to show diners.
Yeah. They eat at after going out, they go to like the 101 coffee shop, I think, or something. And in Las Vegas, they eat at diners too. Yeah, diners were probably a big part of that swing culture, if I had to guess.
And I think it's 90s culture because lots of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of coffee and mugs.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cafe culture.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Have you ever experienced ordering from Pink Dot?
No.
Okay. So Pink Dot, for people that don't know, is a food delivery service in LA. There's one in WeHo. And this was way before like Yummy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
All before Postmates. Like, I mean, it's in the 90s. So you can get literally whatever you want from a grocery store delivered to you. Okay, so there's a scene where they're at someone's house playing video games, and these two, Vince Vaughn and this one other guy, they start full-blown on the ground fighting over a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, the guy from Pink Dot's here.
Huh.
They rush over to him to pretend to be homosexuals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This movie is, that's no good.
Why was that about?
Is that like a way to scare him and leave the food and run away?
I don't.
Interpret it as that. So because they're like, come on in, like hang out with us, right?
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
What was that about?
I mean, these guys, there's a lot of, you know, homoeroticism or at least brotherly love in this movie.
Yeah.
They definitely love each other a lot. You know,
there's
they're hooking up in the same wagon.
There's a level of broiness that I was enviable of.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point when in that scene we were talking about where Vince Vaughn is in the, where both of them are in the Las Vegas trailer and they're both hooking up with girls.
Yeah.
Vince is like hooking up with this girl and then he's like, wait a second, I got to check on my baby or something.
John Favreau. Yeah. And I'm like, That's a good bro.
Yeah, the amount of love. Yeah, definitely some real.
And after he cock blocks him, like John Favreau, like in the car, is like, I'm sorry, man. He's like, eh, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's like, Vince is a good bro in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So the level of bro culture, like it does seem toxic, but at the same time, you could see why it's so fun. Because there's this level of intimacy.
Yeah.
It's so hard to otherwise show on screen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because you see them like wrestling on the floor over a video game, like little kids, which is fun because they're like in their 20s and they're in like the most bachelory of pads.
I know. Yeah, that's like my apartment. It's
there's a blanket over the couch.
Yeah, the blanket over the couch, huge crack in the wall.
You're gonna harass the Pink Dot guy when he gets there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Me and my boys are always hanging,
just
playing Super Nintendo,
smoking Marble 27s inside.
That's right. Cursing, a lot of cursing,
lots of swearing, lots of finding shots that are that money.
Mm-hmm.
Did they mimic the shot from Reservoir Dogs?
Oh yeah, so I didn't even realize that. I know there's like, because they have a conversation. Yeah, and are they talking about Reservoir Dogs when they?
I don't think they mention Reservoir Dogs. I think they just suddenly mimic a shot from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, they're like at a poker table, at a table, right?
There's some sort of table, and then they all of a sudden they just do the Reservoir Dogs shot.
Yeah, there's definitely they definitely have a Reservoir Dogs poster on the wall and talk about Quentin Tarantino being a master.
it's wild.
I mean, yeah, they did write what they know in this flick.
I mean, I guess it's funny that they do a Reservoir Dogs reference, but it doesn't.
Must have been weird, jarring. I feel like if I watched a movie today that referenced a movie that was 3 years, that had come out 3 years ago, I would be taken aback. But I guess, I mean, there must be movies that do that, but it seems a little, I would be surprised.
I mean, I get why they did it, I guess, but it just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I do like. There's a lot of scenes where they're talking to women.
Yeah.
And they get shut down by women a lot, but in very clever ways.
Uh-huh.
There's a part where they're ordering from a waitress in Vegas where Favreau, he mentions some obscure philosopher. He's like, oh, people aren't going to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a waitress overhearing corrects him.
That's the classic. Yeah, that to me felt like real the Favreau's Yeah, I could really feel the screenwriter there, you know, mm-hmm. slipping the reference in, being like, oh, it's so stupid that this character does this philosophy reference, but mm-hmm. also, like, it's pretty cool that the writer knows this philosophy reference.
Yeah, it's like, can you believe the writer knows this? And then he tries to talk to some girl at the Dresden. I think he lies to her and straight up says that he has a manager or whatever in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I've seen you before. You asked me for a job at Starbucks.
Right, right. But that woman does later, I'm pretty sure, gives...
Oh, she does give him his number.
Her number, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then they do this weird thing where they play the Jaws music.
Seriously? Man. I mean, it's crazy. Like, Favreau, the two times that, like, Favreau comes out on top, you know, eventually... So, yeah, we're kind of... The whole thing is like this push-pull for the writer, Jon Favreau, being like, what's cool? Is it cool to be my friend Vince Vaughn, who, like, you know, doesn't treat women well, but, like, hooks mm-hmm. up all the time? Or is it cooler to be me, like, the yeah. loser who, like, doesn't get girls? And I think we find out as it goes on, it's cooler to be Jon Favreau. He gets that girl because he's trying to order a drink at the bar and, like, doesn't do it well. And she's like, oh, you're so stupid. Like, here's my phone number.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, Heather Graham later falls for him for being kind of a...
For being Favreau.
For being, yeah, meek.
Oh, yeah, so he does get the number from the Starbucks girl.
Mm-hmm.
But that's right after this, that's when that guy pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
And things go haywire real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just, like, implodes, the guy that brings out the gun, and tells Favreau, you keep bitching about your ex. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got a phone number. He's like, yeah, but you're going to fuck that up,
yeah,
too.
Right.
And he does.
That's like the Favreau's low moment, right? Mm-hmm. Is after that. And the thing that causes it is this, his friend being like, you haven't fucked in 6 months. And John's like, I can't take it. And he's like, ends in a crushing depression.
Can you imagine that being like a weird slam?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, guys were different in the 90s.
Were they?
Yeah.
I mean,
and my guy friends, you know, we just support each other. We give each other love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't talk about how long it's been since we've
But when
had
you do,
sex.
It's, yeah. it's when it's a slam.
It's vicious.
It's
yeah.
a slam.
Yeah, it is. I love that. That was like the ultimate thing that, you know, Favreau's taken a lot of losses over the movie, but uh-huh. the thing that really rocks him is when his friend's like, dude, your girlfriend doesn't care about you, your ex-girlfriend, and I know you haven't had sex in 6 months. And John is like, I think he's in his apartment for days after that.
Oh, yeah. Like, he goes into a deep depression.
Yeah, yeah. Ron Livingston has to bring him food to get him out of it.
Yeah. Like, he's like so worried.
Right. But then, and then Ron Livingston kind of is like, hey, you know, it's actually cool to be nice to people. Like,
mm-hmm.
he's like, you know, your girlfriend was very nice. And it's been, he's John Livingston. Provides the sweetness, which Jon Favreau later takes to the finish line with
yeah.
Heather Graham by being sweet, being his true
sweet self.
He meets
Heather Graham at a swing club.
Yeah, Heather Graham is like, I gotta have this guy.
Yeah, she's dressed like all 40s.
Yeah.
And her whole thing is like, oh, I just got out of a really bad breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They reconnect on that.
Yeah, and then you see the lights light up in Favreau's eyes when he hears another woman be like, I just got out of a bad break. He's like, you too?
Yeah, I know. In LA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's magic. It's fireworks. Their connection, I would say, is unfair. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Favreau, you know, God bless him. But I was not on his side there. It seemed unfair that he would just, that would happen to him.
This, her character definitely feels written.
Yes.
Like, here's a list of my needs, and then, like, here's how I fulfill them.
Right. Basically, all the women in the movie have, like, something about them that makes them, like, suck in some way. There's
yeah.
the one and the, like, Vince Vaughn gets this woman's number at a party, but she's, like, an actor and is, like, talking his ear off about auditions, and he's like, I can't. He rips her number up.
Yeah, he turns around and rips his number up in front of his friends,
yeah.
and his friend's like, you're such a dick. And he's like, she didn't see.
Yeah.
And I'm just like... It was because she was talking about being an actor.
Yeah, she was like talking about being in it. Yeah, and having an agent. And he's like, yeah, from afar, he thinks she's really hot. And then,
uh-huh.
you know, here's her open her crazy mouth.
Oh, and then I think that was also the first time you hear the Jaws music.
Oh, really? That's so funny. I missed this whole motif.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird, like when she's giving him her number, you hear the Jaws music. But then I don't know. Okay, on the one hand, that scene does kind of show Vince being a dick because he tears up that girl's number. But part of me is like, he didn't like what she had to say.
Right, right.
So I'm like,
it's not evil. But I feel like the seeing Jon Favreau's ex-girlfriend was like, when he finally gets on the phone with her, he's been like pining for her for so long.
Yeah.
And then on the phone, she's like, all right, what's going on? It's like, you immediately get the feeling like, oh, like basically all the women are bad except for Heather Graham, who's like immediately falls in love with him for, you know, and ends up calling him.
Yeah. Okay. Cause he writes, he's like, I'm not going to fuck it up this time. This time I'm going to follow my friend's advice and wait 2 days to call. Like he marks it on his calendar.
Right.
Okay. Is this a real thing people do?
Well, you're waiting to call somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't had too many, like, I feel like you definitely text someone the next day. I mean, that's my policy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I had a great time last night. Then again, I'm more of the Jon Favreau in this situation. I'm not exactly the Vince Vaughn.
I feel like
Casanova.
I'm also a Favreau.
Yeah. I think, you know, the truth is most of us probably are.
Or I'm a Graham, apparently, the female Favreau.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. Heather Graham, poor Heather Graham. She got savaged in this movie. She just has to like come along and just kind of complete the loop on Jon Favreau.
It's like, here, let me pick you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she calls him and she's like, I know you're supposed to wait. My friends say to wait 2 days, but I just wanted to call you.
I know,
you.
It's crazy. It's just so wild that, he, as a writer, Jon definitely had little snipes for all the women in the movie except for Heather.
Oh,
who was like, by his definition, like behaving the correct way by, like even the, when they're in the Las Vegas trailer and Vince Vaughn like hooks up with his girl.
Uh-huh.
They like collapse into her bed and there's all like doll, like stuffed animals in her room, which seems like a little mini snipe by Jon at like, look at this like little dumbass. It was, yeah, I thought that, you know, the gender politics of the flick don't really, they don't work with 2019 standards.
Oh,
too
no.
Much.
No. That women seem like alien creatures
yes.
in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the men are, it seems like they're just trying to have a good time and women just keep fucking it up
right.
for them.
And then, and like the, and I love just the wish fulfillment of writing the movie as the, like, you know, the beta guy. And it's just, you should just,
stay the beta guy.
You should get to say, yeah. And then you'll eventually find, you know, Heather Graham will eventually like ask you to swing dance at a bar.
Yeah.
That's that.
All you have to do is keep listening to the music you love and just get better at being the beta guy.
I mean, again, Jon Favreau, looking at his arms, you know, those are some pretty big arms. They were he's a pretty ripped dude. I give him some credit for being ripped, and maybe that's the secret sauce that made it work.
Well, do you not recall the amazing dance scene in swing club?
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Like the friends comment on it. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, when did you?
Yeah, he's like, he took a ballroom dance class that, again, like, you know, his softness works in his favor. He's taking dance classes, turns out. That's all.
Take notes, men. Mm-hmm. If you're a beta, just keep being a beta, but you better be amazing at something physical.
Yeah.
I think that's so funny that there's a swing dance scene.
Yeah. It is like that whole. It's a fascinating snapshot of a weird ass trend.
Yeah, it's I wrote down wallet chain.
Yeah.
I wrote down vintage shirt. And there's a scene where they walk into a club through the kitchen. And I was like, is this their version of the Goodfellas shot?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I forget the other poster that's on his wall that's not Reservoir Dogs, but he's definitely, it's like in the Goodfellas universe.
Goodfellas. Yeah. So they're just going to do shots from all of it.
Yeah.
I wrote Heather Graham. Is she good in this?
I wonder. Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, she doesn't have a lot to work with. I feel like it's a very like, she does her thing as far as like being, I feel like Heather Graham is often enchanted by guys. That's probably like a place where she's been cast a lot, right? Just kind of being like wide-eyed and kind of innocent. And like that's in Boogie Nights, she's kind of a similar character, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know, in Austin Powers.
wide-eyed.
Yeah, right. So she definitely does that.
The part where he's on the phone talking to her, I wrote, OMG, he's wearing an In-N-Out shirt.
Yeah. That was cool. That's like the last scene, right? Or yeah, that is, because he's on the phone with her in his house.
Yes. Oh no. There's a scene after that.
Oh, what is the final?
It's a scene. Well, I also wrote "When it rains, it pours." there's a scene where they're in a diner, of course, and he's talking to Vince Vaughn.
Of course, yeah. Right.
And then he's making a woman he thinks is flirting with him.
Right.
And so he automatically just starts flirting back, and he does this thing that I've seen in trailers for other movies, where he's like, "You want to play games? Let's play cute little games."
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a funny reveal where you see that, in fact, the woman was talking to a baby, a actual baby.
Yeah, so I think we've discovered that Vince Vaughn's way of life is only good for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, women have babies, and, and you can't be, they can't be your baby anymore.
Yeah, the baby he was talking to had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and wasn't interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Favreau ends up with a baby, and Vince doesn't.
Yeah, Favreau's on top. He's headed towards probably a long-term relationship.
He's going to start directing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vince is going to do Wedding Crashers.
I like, Vince, I like that Jon Favreau's character is a comedian. It's kind of fun. You know, obviously it's a different scene back in the 90s, but kind of interesting. And he says that he hosts an open mic on the West Side.
Oh, God.
Which, like, kind of felt about right.
Yeah.
Based on, I don't know, his kind of vibe. Yeah. I didn't really buy him as a comedian, honestly.
I didn't either. I'm like, you're a writer, you're not a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing a Woody Allen thing pretty hard.
Yeah. If Vince Vaughn or Ron Livingston said they were comedians, I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
really.
But Favreau, I was like, no, you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a writer.
And Ron Livingston is the coolest guy in the movie. He's the man. I love him.
He's so charming in it.
Yeah.
Apparently, that was the apartment they shot in. That was his real apartment.
That's wild.
Favreau's apartment. And he lived above Adam McKay.
No way.
Not Adam McKay. Who's the guy from Parks and Rec?
Adam Scott?
Yes.
Wow.
He lived above
young
Adam
Scott.
Scott.
Who's kind of ageless. I feel like Adam Scott.
Oh, yeah. He's always been 20.
Yeah, right. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I think, like, bottom line is I definitely, you know, there's a lot of goofiness in it.
Uh-huh.
It's a goofy version. You know, the philosophy that John is putting forward about life, I don't really like. I don't really like these guys all that much, although it seems like it would be fun to be in a fraternity. I don't think it's not my exact scene.
I think if I didn't know any better and I saw this 20 years ago, like literally 20 years ago, I would have been like, this is a fun movie.
Yeah, I think what I definitely give it the big amount of credit is it is like any time that, like, I definitely give credit to people who do the thing of making a movie, it, like, from being a struggling artist to, like, make a movie. Like, people knock, like, Garden State. I haven't seen it. People make fun of this movie, I would guess.
I recommend seeing it if you haven't seen it just to see it.
Yeah. But I think, like, the bottom line is if you're someone who gets a movie made, like, really young and, like, it's a success, and that's pretty cool.
It's just, like, because, like, this film was very bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've made movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know how hard it is.
Right, yeah. I haven't made a feature film, but yeah.
But just making a short is just so...
Yeah, you got to get funding. I mean, I don't know. Who knows how John pulled it off? Obviously, he's a white man. That probably helped.
Yeah,
in a
from
time
the East
when
Coast.
White men were real. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very white guy. It's a very white guy movie.
It's also a very specific type of white guy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very alpha male. I imagine when Entourage came along, these guys were like, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah, totally. And like, it's funny how in Entourage, in Swingers, they definitely represent the geek's perspective pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think
A bunch of alpha males that view themselves as underdogs.
Exactly, yeah. There's definitely a big underdog mentality. Jon Favreau's like, yeah, like, I'm friends with Vince Vaughn, but I'll never be like him. And, like, probably same for the writers of Entourage. They're like, it'd be cool to be, is also Vince. But,
yeah, they would love to be Vince Vaughn, but
like,
they can't
I guess
be Vince
I'm
Vaughn.
Turtle or whatever.
Yeah, they're all going to be Turtle.
Yeah, so you got to represent. It would be funny if this movie had no self-awareness. It would be really bad, you know.
If
we didn't have any geeks at all.
Uh-huh. Like, the fact that it's not completely... I feel like the fact that it's really into swing culture does give it some very specific flair.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that these guys are trying so hard to be smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does play into that whole swing culture of, like, 50s,
yeah,
zoot suits, classic.
Yeah, how widespread was this? Like, would you
I'm
talk like this
John,
all the time?
I'm telling you, John, this was a thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm telling you, this was a thing.
Yeah.
Google Gap commercial 90s.
Okay.
You're going to see literally swing dancing.
Man, big cherry popping daddies.
Big
I mean,
bad
voodoo
daddies, cherry popping daddies, Save Ferris.
It's evil. Save Ferris, named after Ferris Bueller?
No, it was... I actually have no idea.
Jeez.
Here's the thing. You know about ska.
Mm-hmm.
You were aware of ska.
Mm-hmm.
But you did not know that swing dance really... I mean, it was never cool.
I guess so ska is like the intersection between swing dance and Rastafarian and like reggae music, right? That's basically the...
I don't know if that's the technical term, but yes.
Okay, got it.
It's definitely...
A lot of horns.
You'll see brass.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear brass.
A lot of suits, probably. Well, what did they first...
You're not going to see suits in ska,
okay,
unless it's like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Maybe just caps. They have some sort of bowler caps or...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe bowling shirts. Like
bowling shirts.
Pull those off.
Think Smash Mouth.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, what a time. What a strange... I guess it was like a outgrowth of like grunge and punk music or something.
Yeah,
like
people
that.
Wanted to dance, uh-huh. And they wanted to dance hard.
Yeah,
and they wanted to look clean while they did it.
Yeah, I guess who can blame them?
I mean,
when you put it like that,
you got to respond.
Yeah,
everything is a response to something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, swing was—I don't want to say a response to grunge, but
right. I think I know that the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. I was just Wikipedia'd earlier, and they are that was like a. I think they're from Eugene, Oregon.
Little
Pacific Northwest was in part of the swing movement. I guess that was where I got grunge from. Maybe it intersected in some way.
Oh, well, I think anywhere that's gonna have some sort of intersectional music scene,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna find some swing.
Right. Man, yeah. I wonder if like when they wrote this, is it a extremely conscious choice? Be like, these characters are gonna talk this way. I mean, obviously he made the choice to have them say baby, but was that like, yeah, how much of a stylized thing was that? Was that just like, his friends probably didn't talk too, like exactly like that, but maybe they were talking like that a little bit.
I think they were talking about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's such a specific choice.
Yeah. Because, and I don't think that Jon Favreau really in the movie he probably doesn't say baby that often.
No, but he does say that's so money.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Which sounds
money.
So stupid.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's so Raven.
Yeah.
It's so.
Yeah, you can't say that's that construction. That sentence just doesn't make sense.
Did you like this movie?
I don't think I really liked it that much. I wasn't laughing my head off. The only time I made a big, that I had a big response was when Heather Graham came on to Jon Favreau. I got mad.
Wait, what?
When Heather Graham kind of came on to Jon Favreau, I had a response.
Well, no, I knew when
just
Heather Graham,
fair.
When she popped
just
up with
right.
that vintage hair, I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
There
it's
she
just
is.
Crazy. And how can you just, I mean, that was the, as far as the things that got a big emotional response for me, that was number one.
Well, Heather Graham always plays the girl that's here to solve all your problems.
Yeah.
She literally played that character, I think, in Twin Peaks, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's right. She's
yeah.
in season two.
Yeah. Like, your girlfriend says this and this and this, but I think you're perfect the way you are.
Right, right.
If anything, do it more.
Yeah.
Just, and someone saying that to you all wide-eyed, it's just like, okay, we can end the story now.
Yeah. So I think my overall answer is I wouldn't recommend watching Swingers.
But if someone, based on the movie Swingers, what other films would you recommend for people?
American Pie. I feel like, well, American Pie is a good tonal pair.
Get your 2000s down.
Yep. Yeah. That's
I mean,
like
Blink 182 is literally in it.
Is Blink 182? Oh, in American Pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, it's a fun LA movie. I think I really like Nightcrawler. That's like a really good LA movie.
Oh, that's
maybe
true.
Say watch Nightcrawler before you watch this, or even Drive, which is another cool, super stylized LA movie.
Yes.
Let's see, what else? What's the movie with is it Steve Zahn or Steve it's with what's his name? It's with Jason Bateman, Jack Black, and Steve
The OC?
No, it's like it's about Saving Silverman.
Oh,
you know, I haven't seen
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen Saving Silverman in a long time, but if you're looking for a movie with a crazy mean girlfriend.
Oh yeah, like, isn't she supposed to be evil or whatever in
yeah,
it? Amanda Peet's in
Amanda Peet is evil and it's a bunch of guys trying to kind of save their friend.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
movie, at least when I watched it as a 13-year-old, was pretty funny. I'd maybe recommend that one.
I remember really liking Shallow Hal when it came out.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, but then it was a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Watch any Jack Black movie. Watch Mr. Show. Get Jack Black and
I would say The Big Lebowski.
Yes, that's
for,
a good
for
one.
A loss
is that also
LA.
Is that 2000 or 99?
I think it's the '90s.
Got it.
But it's also I love the way it shows LA.
Yeah.
And again, you see In-N-Out referenced in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a part. Well, after his car gets smashed in, they go to get In-N-Out.
That's awesome. Wow.
Which I think is so funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, they literally go to North Hollywood, Culver City, Malibu, Hollywood.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie's all Hollywood Hills, Los Feliz, and that's it. West Hollywood, I guess, a little bit when they drive by Cantor's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they just, they do a lot of money shots.
Yeah, right.
Which in a porn term, I'm told, is when the guy comes.
I can't say. I've never seen the stuff.
You've never seen porn? No,
I have.
It's interesting. Cool. I recommend 3 pornos based on this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
You know, just keep your eyes peeled for my activity on the web, and that's pretty much as much as I'll say.
what's your handle, Twitter or whatever?
It's J Milstein, JMILLSTEIN, at twitter.com.
John is very funny.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Connie.
You should check him out.
Yeah, I'll be coming out with my movie with my guys. We're gonna get together and yeah, it'll be just like this.
Is it good? Is this your version of Swingers?
Yeah, and I'm gonna pick my most popular friend, and he'll be made to look like a fool at the end. And
you're gonna
end
get
up with
the
Heather
girl.
Graham. Yeah, with the same.
Is there
woman.
A specific genre music that you're gonna attach to it?
Mine will be.
Please be dubstep.
Mine will be all dubstep and EDM. It'll be, and we'll all be using EDM terms like a remix.
Oh, for a split second I thought you meant like what's that that voice that sound thing that people are doing on YouTube.
SoundCloud.
No, not. It's like it's a type of. It's sort of a fetish. People are.
Oh, ASMR.
Yeah.
ASMR could be good. Like I think the woman that Heather Graham will play like an ASMR vlogger.
Like she's like an ASMR artist.
Yeah,
and you meet her.
She's an ASMR. I think I'm allowed to say, given our age difference, she's an ASMR MILF in my movie.
I think she's literally probably 20 years older than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she'll be a MILF.
But she's going to think you're great.
Yeah, I'll be a
wide
self, eye. Which is a son I'd like to fuck.
Son I'd like. Oh, yeah. God, that is so gross.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, John.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a blast.
If you like what you heard, you can rate and review us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Campfire Media. You could check us out on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
Thanks.
Ever wanted to hear from the neighbor at 9 Cloverfield Lane? Or what if I told you that Dr. Loomis's worst patient wasn't Michael Myers? I'm Adam Peacock, host of the podcast My Neighbors Are Dead. Join me each week as I talk to the lesser-known characters from your favorite horror films. Each week is an all-new, fully improvised journey into the unknown featuring friends and luminaries from the worlds of comedy, horror, and beyond. New episodes every Tuesday on Campfire Media. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Campfire.